I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order for the Texas Emergency Services Retirement System Board of Trustees. It is 8:30 a.m. on September 6, 2023. Michael, can you go ahead and call roll?
Laura Rodriguez?
Here.
Jerry Romano?
Here.
Edward Keen?
Here.
Nathan Douglas? Matt Gauss?
Glaives?
Glaives?
Here.
Brad Landy?
Here.
Rodney Reynolds?
Here.
Brian Smith?
Here.
And Stephanie Wagner.
Can I go ahead and get a motion? We do have a quorum. Can I get a motion to excuse those board members that are absent?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is invitation for public comment. Is there any public comment?
No public comment.
Okay. Well, I have one announcement. I want to recognize Stephanie Wagner's service to the TESR's Board of Trustees. Stephanie submitted her resignation, and the governor has accepted her resignation effective a couple of days ago, Jessica. So I want to recognize her service. She served on the board 2-3 years. I don't know. I lose track of time.
Just a little over years.
Yeah. She served almost a full term, so I want to thank her for her service. With that said, at this time, I'd like to go to item number 9, personnel matter regarding the appointment, employment, compensation, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of the executive director, and going to executive session. So it is 8:31 a.m. on September the 6th. At this time, the system will go into closed session pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.074 to discuss personnel matters under agenda item number 9. The system requests that all non-system members leave the room except for legal counsel. The following people need to remain nearby so they may be called in if needed, and that would be Tiffany White. So we're going into closed session.
Recording stopped.
It is 9:03 a.m. on September 6th, 2023, and the system is now in open session. No action was taken in closed session. I'd like to go ahead and get a motion to recess for about 20 minutes.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, we're in recess for 20 minutes.
Are they able to get, did y'all get the recording going out for all that?
I thought I saw Michael come
through.
Michael
got that one. Yeah.
Okay, good.
He's a ninja.
Getting my steps in.
Hit the button.
Okay.
Okay, it is 9:26 a.m. We're back in session from our recess. I'd like to go back into closed session. So it's 9:26 a.m. on September the 6th, 2023. At this time, the system will go back into closed session pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.074 to discuss personnel matters under agenda item number 9. The system requests that all non-system members leave the room except for legal counsel.
Recording stopped.
Just sorry, Michael.
That's good.
Put him on the waiting room.
Good. Still need logging. Sorry.
Recording in progress.
Okay, it is now 9:59 a.m. on September the 6th, 2023. The system is now in open session. No action was taken in closed session. Next item on the agenda is item number 4, financial budget report. A is for fiscal year 2023 non-appropriated budget and expenditures. B is for fiscal year 2023 appropriated budget and expenditures. And C is for fiscal year 2024 non-appropriated budget adoption. And then I guess we have AJ Weber.
He's still trying to sign in.
Okay, we'll give him a minute.
Still need to go back to item number 3.
Oh, minutes? I'm sorry. You're right. Okay, so item number 3, approval of minutes for the meeting held August 14, 2023. Are there any additions or corrections or amendments to the minutes?
Not accept.
Okay, so we've got a motion by Matt and a second by Jerry. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, and now we'll go to AJ. The budget. AJ, this is Pilar, are you there?
Yep, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, we're ready for your presentation on item number 4, A, B, and C.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the non-appropriated budget. These do represent figures through 8/31. And again, just a reminder that these are really cash basis figures. We will go through the audit process and convert this to full accrual. So we do anticipate some additional expenditures, but the overall theme is from what we have budgeted for fiscal year 23, we still believe you're going to be under budget. The investment expense category, three boxes down from the top, is where we think we'll see the largest accruals. Those are usually paid in arrears, but you're within budget for fiscal year 23. Again, the only update from what you saw when we attended the meeting in person is these are actual expenses in that bill column through August 31st. All right, next I'm going to go to the appropriated budget. Now, we don't typically see as many accruals on the appropriated budget side, but we do usually book a few at the end of the year. So this will be pretty close to what your year-end budget will look like or what your budget to actual will look like. So still room in the budget based on what was allocated at the beginning of the year. That total, $564,700. You will see about a 13% increase in the appropriated fund budget from 23 to 24. But again, everything, if you look at the summaries of the categories in total, is under budget as of August 31st. Again, we typically book a few accruals, but not nearly as many as an unappropriated budget on the pension fund side.
I got a question. Yeah. I don't know if it's for you or for Jessica. Line 102, other personnel costs, what was the $9,000 that doubled the budget?
That would be an AJ question.
Hi, AJ.
Did I just hear that the question was, well, why is it $9,000 under budget?
Over budget. 1002, second from the top, other personnel costs, budget was 11.1, and the actual expenditures was 20.5, so over budget by 9.4. So I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, if you look at the objects 1001 and 1002 in total, when we do payroll at testers and we're not involved in the actual payroll process, the state automatically allocates the items between salaries and wages and other personnel costs. So personnel costs can be things like benefits, your FICA taxes. So I'm not sure of why the split, of why we're under budget other than the executive director position in 1001 and over in 1002. I'd have to get with Dre, who's your conflict CPA in the state, to understand how they allocate those. It's an automatic allocation, but I think it's important to look at those two numbers in total, which is based on payroll.
Is that a state thing that has them separate, or is that something we're doing?
No, that's a state thing that has them separate. Again, when payroll is run and your employees are paid, the state automatically allocates it to both 1001, 1002, and your other recruiting technical assistance line item.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. Anybody else have questions?
So last, I'll go to item C. So this is the proposed and non-appropriated budget, so your pension fund budget of expenditures. Again, we show you your actual expenditures through August 31st, and the differences between what is presented here, what was presented at the last meeting, is really recognizing the contracts that you have in place. So you'll see a couple of items start on the right-hand side. Those have been adjusted for the actual contracts that have come through testers. Again, in the past, we didn't break it out into this much detail, but we thought it was important to show budget, especially in the investment expenses, salary, miscellaneous expenses. I'd like to see a pretty comprehensive amount that's going to tie back to the schedules that we provided you for actuals.
AJ, this is Pilar. I know we've spent some time going back and forth on the appropriated budget as it relates to exceptional items. And so I've received some information here. We've got a document that's dated January of this year and another one that's dated approximately May of this year that would shed some light on that or possibly shed some light on that, where the allocations may be. I'd like to ask you to work with Jessica to decipher that and give the board a report at the next meeting. We were able to pin that down, and so I'll pass the information along to you so you can go through it and see what you can report back to the board.
Yeah, happy to.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions on the budgets? Okay, this is a non-action item, or is it an action item? I'm sorry.
Action item will be the budget for fiscal year 24.
Okay. Okay, so.
So just C?
Yeah, just C. So on item 4C, we need a motion for the board to adopt the fiscal year 2024 non-appropriated budget as presented.
Make a motion to approve it presented.
Second.
Okay, it's a motion by Jerry and a second by Matt. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign, motion carries. Okay, next item is item number 5, Human Resource Employee Handbook Outline. Susan?
I just wanted an opportunity to share with you where we were with the handbook. I think last month I said I'll have a draft. I didn't realize we'd be meeting 3 weeks later, so I do not have a draft for you. But this is an outline to kind of show you where the thinking is and what the policies are needed. Previously, the agency has been operating off of two documents, one from 2017, and one from 2018. And in those two documents, they had approximately 29 policies. And as you can see in the draft of this outline, I am including over 80 items because I think some of the issues, concerns, and problems that we have in the agency center around not having well-documented policies and procedures so that we can be consistent with employees. So what you see are those things that were taken from the HR assessment that I shared with you, those things that were missing, like due process, how to handle complaints, employee conduct, work rules, staff evaluations, merits, and bonus. Now, the practice has been for the last 10 years or more, this agency has never given employees merit raises. They've only given bonuses. And as you know, bonuses are just one time. They don't help an employee's retirement, their pension. So I wanted to be able to help them understand what's the difference between a bonus and a merit, because that really, it's a benefit to employees. Also, there's not a progressive discipline process, what happens when someone acts out, you know, how do you try to save the employee when someone doesn't do their job, how do you, before you terminate them, what do you do to try to turn things around, and then what does it mean to have a promotion? I think what I've seen the practice has been, because you've been short-staffed, someone volunteers to do a job, and they're assigned to do it, but there is no promotion, there's no change in classification, there's no change in job description, and that ties back to those things we saw in the HR assessment. And once again, I'm going to remind you that there are no supervisors, there are no managers, you're just flat. So as far as succession planning and developing employees and having employees know how to run the organization, it's not there. Any questions for me?
I do.
Yes.
How many of these can we pull over from the state policies?
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
I'm looking at the human resource statutes, mm-hmm. other state agencies, because we really don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Exactly.
Because, like, even with our information security, cybersecurity, DRR develops draft policies, so we just pull those into those. So it's not a lot of rewrite, it's just to make sure it's consistent, and once we develop it, it's part of training employees, because you don't want to have policies and employees don't understand the rationale behind them or why we do these things. So that's a good question. So I'm not reinventing the wheel. I'm working smarter than harder. Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah, a quick question on this. Will this be online, or are you going to make it a hard copy?
Well, my practice is it needs to be both.
Okay.
Because if you put it online and you say it's out there, that's good for employees. But they need to sign and acknowledge. Mm-hmm. And once you go through the training with them and say, you know, you've read it, we've gone through it, acknowledged, they have the hard copy, so you don't get into, well, I didn't know that was the policy. So it'll be both. And then that way, any revisions could be uploaded online, and then you could send out a notice to them saying the policy has been updated.
So, where is it? So let's say someone's looking at this online and they go to forms. And will they all have hot links so that when you click
yes,
on the form,
that's the goal.
Go to
you go directly to the form. So yeah. Like an example came up recently. Michael and I have been looking at the end of the year requirements either by legislative budget board or state auditors. Most of the human resource requirements come from the state auditors. Well, they want to know of all your employees, anybody have a second job or what their secondary activities are. Well, currently, we don't capture that information. So that's a form that we're going to need because we're required to report that information. So we're trying to get a handle on, like the SORM report, all those reports that we know are required and when they're due, so we can be timely with them and have a clear understanding and expectation of who's going to complete those.
I know this is a draft form or mm-hmm. draft policy, but if you look on your forms section, mm-hmm. you have I think it's supposed to be waiver and confidentiality statements, just mm-hmm. a small typing error.
Oh, you caught my typo?
I'll be sure.
The door prize today. You can have an extra.
Once you're done reading this stuff.
Good. Thank you for catching that. Okay? And that's why you'll have a chance to review the policy before we adopt it with the employees.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Next item on the agenda is item number 6, board training opportunities. Jessica?
Jessica Brian, here, Gilar. This is just the overview of high-level summary of minimum education that the PRB is requesting. It's a new fiscal year, a new training cycle. This is why I want to bring it to your attention. Any new trustees for the first year of their service, they have to attend 7 core trainings. And after your first year, then every 2 years, 4 hours of continuing ed training. So they can be non-core 4 hours. The 7-hour core training is for the first year. In the packet, There is in the back a list of training opportunities that define core and non-core and which organizations provide that. The Telfer conference is one that will provide non-core CE core training hours, which comes is up. The conference starts October 1st through the 3rd, so if anybody's interested, that's a training opportunity to add to your training hours. And that's just a good summary of, high-level summary of minimum education required by a pension review board. And more information is in that packet for you.
Any questions for Jessica? If not, this is a report only. The next item on the agenda is item 7. System activity report, again, Jessica.
System activity report, there's some year-end non-audited items for you. Just want to show you where we are in regards to payees and our numbers for the year. And pensions, I did a chart for pension payouts. Why don't you go ahead and take a look at that, where our pension payouts are per year beginning September 1st, 2022 through August 31st. As you can see in the chart, we started September 2022 with a little under $675,000, and we ended the year with $699,000. We had two increases in November of $906,000. That's due to the two off-duty deaths in Dalhart. And in December is a second peak at $770,000. Those are due to 13 checks from pensioners during those 2 months. So we are starting to trend upward, more to the $700,000 per month for pension pay. The next on your chart is the vested, active vested, terminated for fiscal year end, non-audited. Your current actives are 3,343. Your vested terminated are 1689. And your payees are 39.29. Next chart. We go to the next chart. Out of 190 active departments, these are departments with active members, we have 55% of them are at $36 per member per month, 29% of them are at $40 through $100, and 16% of those departments are $105 through $490. So we can see where the trend is going in regards to $36, which is the majority of our departments in income tax.
I've got a question on that, and I don't know if you know this, Jessica, or not, but so many years back when we were at $12 and then we went to $36, it was over the course of 6 years or whatever, and that was to write the system. So has any discussion, and I guess it would be with Mark and Law or whatever, but has any discussion gone on about maybe speculating when we might have to look at that again? Because obviously the majority of our pay or our payments coming in are at the 36 right now, but how long will that sustain the system? Yeah, and has that discussion, or is there any of that piece?
So I think you haven't been on the board the longest. It's a two-part answer to your question. Is I think we've got to do first an actuarial assumption study,
right?
And then we can,
because I thought we've done an actuary.
We have, but it's been about 4 years.
So it's
five, it's been a while since we've done one. I think we're due for one. So can you check with Mark and see if and we're up to renew our assumptions and then our actuary?
And I just know we did that over a 6 year period to bring it up, and I'm just hoping that.
No, I thought we did I was here for a pretty formal review of our assumptions. Was that just a check-in?
I think it was a check-in, because it's been a while since we did the actual study where they went through and looked at the median ages and
I see. Ours was more the should we assume a discount rate of the 7 or 7.5?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wanted to bring these numbers up to your attention for that reason, to show how much we're paying out and how much we're receiving in. Appropriated funds from submission of $1.29 million, how much that gives us for the two payments for pensioners.
Yeah, at one time we also had I forgot what we called it, part one or part two or part A and part B to for the catch up.
Yep. So, yeah. Which we have to vote on whether or not we're gonna do the part two. Yeah, I just those whole things, when they just come together, it's like just to prepare ourselves.
The part two contribution is for administrative needs who are unfunded within our actual valuation.
What is the, if we're paying out about $700,000 a month, what are we taking in on aggregate per month? What are we taking in terms of contributions per month relative to that $700,000?
That's a piece I didn't get for you, but I will circle back on that, because we're doing the ACH for department contributions since we bill on the semi-annual billing. Mm-hmm. We receive the payments in March and then again for October. So I was looking for
the October. Spread it for the month. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, they were all due September 28th or 9th.
Billing period ended August 31st, and then they have 30 days after that to prepare the funds. It's all in for system activity.
Okay, any questions for Jessica? This is a report only. If not, last item on the agenda is number 8, proposed board meeting dates, locations. Agenda items, Jessica, when's the next scheduled board meeting?
We're looking at the last week of November.
Thanksgiving?
Or after Thanksgiving,
Thursday of the third week.
The 29th or the 30th. That work for you?
Oh, when are we talking about? The 30th works.
I'm good. I think we've always had a late November, early December board meeting. We've kind of that last week in November, first week in December, we always
have a week after Thanksgiving. Keep it off of Mondays or Tuesdays. That makes my life a little bit easier.
I think we had agreed go back to Thursdays. Yeah, we had a protest from the attorney on any other day of the week.
Nothing to do with the stars.
I'll be at a conference,
so I
appreciate you accommodating me on that.
Yes.
So
okay.
Thursday, November 30th.
Is that we're looking
for? I was just going to say, once you get that clear, 7D, I had a question on that, which I don't really cover. But whenever you're ready.
Go ahead.
Contract updates, I just wanted to start that. Tie back on the agenda, the non-proposed that we work through contracts, and the non-proposed budget includes contract that they talked about 3 weeks ago. Board tablets. We received board tablets, which you're going to have the next year around. We'll now have the devices for you. We're getting those configured for you, and they'll be available at the November 1st meeting. And the agency website, in regards to the agency website, we have a web hosting company who has decided within their hosting services, so we're moving to their recommended host provider. Our website will be down and up throughout the next month. The style may not look perfect. Bear with us as we transition that migration over and get our website. This one we're looking at moving forward.
So is that also then related to the issue with toll being up and down, or is that something
different? That is something different. The issue with toll was maintenance issue in regards to the
doing when is that going to be back?
They are still working on that. They meet our network administrators. They're addressing an issue that allows public users to log in. Certain areas of Texas are able to log in, others aren't, so they're trying to pinpoint why.
And then another follow-up to that same thing on the toll piece with that relation is, and I just don't totally know this, but as far as the billings that have gone out, are they have to pick them up on toll, or are they mailed?
They are, the billing, the MRR review of your voucher is through toll. Yes.
So that's my question, because our accounts receivable in the city is retired. So I'm trying to make sure whether or not, if they're only coming by the online, we were having an issue with getting people online, and to make sure that, obviously, in our case, and I'm sure some others are like that too,
yes,
if they are looking for that to pull that bill out, and then they don't have it, maybe it's not.
They don't have access to it. The online access adds and drops were told, actual invoices after your pre-bill was reviewed and told, and it's mailed to your accounts payable.
Okay.
We can have a workaround on it. Yeah. And contact our office.
And I think they have. I think our guys have called you, but I'll double check with you guys after. That made me think about that when you were talking about the systems. So.
Paper bills are personal now.
Any more questions for the staff? If there's no more questions for the staff, we have no further business, so motion to adjourn.
So moved.
A motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
We adjourn at 10:24 a.m.
Recording stopped.